Now we're going to turn our attention to the topic of the playoffs themselves. And it's one of these things here, we're heading into this, as we bring Tim Faust and Ken Detweiler, our friends, back in here, dignitaries to the show. Tim, it was a situation, and we had talked about this, I think, primarily off air. We're coming into this thing here. The Phillies, it looked like, were the dominant kind of pick in the media for this. I made my picks a couple of days ago. I didn't really have a strong sense of where anybody else was going to go on this. I wouldn't have been surprised to see people lining up that way, but I didn't know it was going to be as overwhelming in concurrence as that. I said the Phillies over the Rays in the World Series. One no-hitter from Roy Halladay later. The Phillies are looking like a really strong pick. The Rays, I had thought that was going to be potentially a five-game series anyways. I thought it was the hardest one to pick on paper. What were your thoughts coming into this, Tim, and what, if anything, has changed in your mind today?
Well, Texas, I said before today, they got to have a strong showing in game one to have any chance in the series. If they lose today and if they lose, overwhelmingly, that series is over. Now, that being said, they came out and they did what they needed to do. They got Cliff Lee did what he was signed up to do. Problem is number two and three starters are not Cliff Lee. And so we'll see. It's a series. So Texas did what they needed to do. But I think Texas, show me that they can play with the big boys, and they got a chance at that series. And I think that's going to teeter that way. I don't know if Minnesota has the wherewithal to take New York. I'm certainly rooting for it. But you still got to have the Yankees as a favorite in the AL.
I had gone with the Rays as a favorite, although, again, yeah, I had a stronger sense about
after
the Yankees
today.
Winning. Yeah, I had a stronger sense about the Yankees winning their series. I agree with you on that. As far as how this went, it's kind of funny, Ken, in evaluating this here. I was doing our breakdowns on the FDHLounge.com, and I was looking at the things here, giving edges and slight edges, Texas-Tampa Bay. Power, slight edge to Texas in my estimation. Speed, slight edge to Tampa Bay. Starting pitching, Texas, slight edge. And bullpen, Texas, slight edge. Having said that, I picked Tampa Bay. Now, it was the thing where I looked at it, as a young team 2 years ago, they weren't rattled. They made that hellacious run all the way. I was actually surprised they didn't finish it. I thought Tampa Bay was going to win the World Series once they got there. Just stopped short of getting the job done, but I was taken by that. I've been a big Joe Maddon guy the last couple of years. I really thought that, again, Tampa Bay, particularly when you're a dome team in the playoffs, and
right.
I knew the Fairweathers would at least be out for that. I thought they'd get the advantage in the dome. I thought there'd be enough other things going Tampa Bay's way. What's funny is just how, like I said, on paper, it looked like Texas, and the way it played out here today, it looked like Texas, obviously.
Well, I took Texas. We were talking over there on the side there, Tim and I, and some statistics I saw today even helped validate my pick for Texas.
Okay.
Of course, with that being said, go put all your money on the Rays. But the Rays scored 802 runs this year, which has never, ever been done, anybody over 800 runs with a .246 team batting average. That was 13th in the American League. As far as the team batting average, they were number one, however, in walks, which I don't know if they even had a walk today. Well, I think Feliz walked a couple at the end. They're number one in the American League in walks and stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
That was taken out of the equation. So if that stays true to form the rest of the series, goodbye Rays.
Yeah.
With that kind of batting average. And I think Texas can match them with pitcher for pitcher, too. And if Hamilton's healthy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He was like the natural when the Rays drafted him.
Oh, yeah. So, ironically, yeah.
Yes, ironically. So
I didn't realize that, but you're right.
But I'm taking the Rangers in this series.
Well, it's one of these things when you look at it here, guys, in terms of pitching and, when's the last year? There's so many things about this postseason that are weird. When's the last year you would have said Texas arguably with a slight pitching edge over anybody? But in addition to the Cliff Lee trade, and they wouldn't be where they are without him, maybe they still would have won the division because, the Angels were a bunch of choking chodes here in the end. But, C.J. Wilson, Colby Lewis have really pitched well, whereas on the other side, this is one of the things here, Tim, the guy who I had named as the key player for Tampa Bay when I did my breakdown, and boy, is it all on him tomorrow. James Shields, because there's a big fall off in that rotation, past David Price, past Garza, then it's uh-oh. Now Shields is going to be the guy because he's pitched better at home than on the road. His splits are such that Madden thought he'd go there, and I can't argue with that because you look at the other guys on there. You know, Wade Davis has had his issues in the second half of the year. Nobody else is looking like a world beater, but they're going to need Shields to come out and really overachieve relative to what he's done down the stretch.
Yeah, and you talk about a team that, and we're probably talking about it a little bit later on when we talk about the National League, that you know, is years before their time. I mean, Tampa Bay, even though they've had success in 08 and they've having success this year, I mean, the pitching that they have, I mean, Wade Davis is going to be a stud. Mm-hmm. Hellickson's going to be a stud. Mm-hmm. Garz is still under the control for a while. So is David Price. So this is a formidable rotation, and perhaps they're just a little bit before their time. Because you're right, there is the drop-off this year, but big start for James Shields tomorrow.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, and all these ninnies that are talking about the Rays are about to be broken up, they're going to lose Crawford, but, you know, they're going to bring up Desmond Jennings from the farm. And, you know, the good teams, good systems
Pena
can regenerate.
Pena to lose, too.
Yeah, Pena. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, and I say this as a guy who, you know, as Ken knows, I had him in our non-keeper league. I mean, there's a guy that was a mixed blessing at best. I had that guy and Aaron Hill on the left side of my lineup. How did I ever beat anybody in batting average the entire year? Yeah. I have no idea how that happened. You know, but, yeah, I mean, Pena, that's a mixed blessing, you know, on that one, too. Although, again, who's to even say on that? He didn't exactly have the year to price his way out of anywhere. If you're not even over the Mendoza line, you know, nothing can be taken for granted on that one. I said Rays and I said Yankees going into this thing here. I thought the Rays would win, you know, in the American League Championship Series, similar to what they were able to do outlast Boston 2 years ago here. I'm still not going to move off of it after today, but yeah, Shields has got to really overachieve tomorrow, and you know, Wilson and Lewis have really got to kind of fall apart. Get some thoughts from you guys, some predictions, what you thought coming in versus what you think now on the outcome of the American League. Start with you, Tim.
Yeah, I thought Texas had a chance. I thought they did what they needed to do, so I'm going to go with Texas. I'm going to go with the Yankees. You know, hesitantly, you know, I like the energy that's in that Minnesota stadium. I got the opportunity to go there this year. A lot of energy in that stadium. You know, the Yankees just have too much talent, I think. I'm going to go with the Yankees to come out of the American League again, regrettably.
You know what's weird too? Minnesota, and this would really be more the case if they still had Morneau. Unfortunately, he's not going to be bad.
Oh, that's just too bad. It's just too bad. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as, you know, when a Strasburg goes down during the season. I mean, just like you got to feel for these kids. I mean, they only have
sucks.
A finite, you know, period of time. You can say all you want about pro athletes, but, you know, these guys live to compete, and it's just too bad. You don't know when the Twins are ever going to come back. Well, you just don't.
You know what, though? But here's the thing that's kind of weird about them, I think. They're built more around, and even without Morneau, built more around hitting and power hitting than they used to be. And their starting pitching wasn't what it was when they were a playoff team a couple years ago. The strong bullpen's a constant, but they've moved to now more being a hitting team than a starting pitching team, which is backwards from where they've been. But it shows you what a great organization they are. They've adapted. They found ways to change on that. Ken, before we go to the NL, your thoughts on the AL coming in and if you've changed on that today?
I had mentioned I had the Rays for a while, and because – during the season, and hats off, like we mentioned earlier, to the Rangers. I mean, they didn't know who was even going to own them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what, half a year or so?
Yeah.
Before they decided that Nolan Ryan took over. And historically, Rangers pitchers always would fold when it came to August and September because of the heat, and they just didn't have any pitching and blah, blah, blah. So what I have is I have the Rangers beating the Rays, as I mentioned before. I also have the Twins because of the home field over the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And simply because I think they have better pitching. They have a much better bullpen. Mm-hmm. You look at all, they've got like three closers or had been closers.
Yeah.
At the end of their, all they have to do is get to the sixth inning.
But can they?
Easier said than done. Mm-hmm. They're going to throw two lefties in the first three games at the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees have trouble with left-handed hitters. So I'm picking the Twins to win it in five. I come against the Rangers. And then I see the Rangers going to the World Series.
Okay, very interesting. That would
an ALCS of former Washington Senators.
That's true.
Teams. Ooh, very
about
good.
That.
That's true. Yeah,
very good.
The Frank Howard special, so to speak. Yeah,
that's very good.
That would really be.
Tim has done his research. That was a.
I'm actually a little PO'd because I thought I found all the historical oddities that here that I possibly
nice.
Could. That one eluded
that
me somehow.
Sweet.
Yeah, that one. That's
I remember when they made those moves, as you probably do too.
I don't.
Maybe you don't.
I don't either.
Yeah. Okay, but I was alive on this earth and a baseball fan when they made those moves, and so wow, very impressive, Tim.
Well, you know what? As we move to the that is impressive. As we move to the National League series here, here's the thing that's very interesting. We're seeing something in the National League. We've only ever seen this one time before in the playoffs, the American League Division Series 1997. Four managers who had managed in the World Series, Mike Hargrove, Davey Johnson, Lou Piniella, and Joe Torre. This year, Dusty Baker, Bruce Bochy, Bobby Cox, Charlie Manuel have all managed in the World Series previously. Another subplot, if Bobby Cox loses in this round, as most figure that he will, he goes out against the guy who kept him out of the 98 World Series, Bruce Bochy, when he was with San Diego.
Very so good.
Although... that's not exactly a loss. I'm not sure anybody's looking to avenge because that kept them from being historically humiliated by the 98 Yankees. So I'm not sure Bobby Cox has spent too many nights crying about that one. The 98 season's not the one that got away for Bobby Cox. He could probably name about three or four others during that run where they were a lot closer.
Yep.
But
Omar Vizquel doesn't throw the ball in the dugout. The Indians have a chance in that 98 ALCS against the Yankees. So,
that's true.
That fuels a little bit of my animosity towards Omar Vizquel, but we'll talk about that in a different show.
Anybody remember Manny Ramirez, doing the whole turnstile jumper thing?
That was after the Vizquel play.
Yeah.
That was after the Vizquel play, for the record.
It was. That was
and
something,
the circus
too.
Came to town.
It was, exactly. And the National League series, I think people are figuring, are going to be a little bit more cut and dried as far as the outcomes for them. And what we saw based on the first National League game today, that's done nothing to change that. It was very interesting. Kind of got a strong 1970s flavor here, Reds-Phillies. The interesting thing, they only met once that decade, 1976. That was when the Big Red Machine was at the height of their power.
Yes.
Steamrolled through them. The Reds also made the playoffs in 70, 72, 73, 75, and 79. Phillies got there at 77, 78, 80, and 83. They mostly avoided one another except for 76. So this is kind of an interesting one here, the way that it went. These two, everybody thought was pretty cut and dried going in. Just start from that premise. I mean, do you guys disagree with that San Fran and Philly looked like the super strong favorites coming into this thing?
I disagree.
Really?
On half of that.
Let's start there.
On half of that premise.
Let's start there. Where do you disagree with the rest of Western civilization, apparently?
Well, I think Philly's going to come out of the National League.
Okay.
Okay, I agree with that. I think they're going to, well, I'll get to the who's going to be the winner later on, I guess.
Philly. So you got Philly's Rangers.
I got Philly's Rangers in the series.
Right.
Got it. Yep. And I think Phillies are going to just sweep through the Reds. Great season, Cincinnati. Young, thanks for playing. Get some seasoning now. See you next year, maybe. Atlanta, I have over San Francisco. And here's my convoluted thinking about this. Again, I heard something, and knowledge is not always power. Knowledge can always just confuse you, which I probably am going to do to everybody right now because I'm confused by this knowledge. Curt Schilling came on, and not a big Curt Schilling fan, but he brought up something about the umpiring crew. That their umpiring crew for this series between Atlanta and San Francisco have a very hitter-friendly strike zone.
Okay.
So unlike the Braves when they had Maddux and he could go 3 to 4 inches off the plate and get
strikes. I was going to say half a foot, but okay.
Yeah, I was being nice there. I was going to say, yeah, I was going to agree with you.
Only Curt Schilling would complain about this, but go on.
Well, he just pointed it out.
Mr. Ketchup on the sock.
Yeah. But he did. He knows the umpiring crew, and if this is to be believed,
wait a second. Did you hear him say this, or did he write this on his
38pitches.com
or whatever that thing is?
I heard him say it.
Okay.
And of course, they ask him how he can get all these great hitters out too, and that's a story for another day too. But if that's true, as a pitcher. Even when I was in high school and even watching baseball as long as I have now, if you shrink that strike zone, you might have superior pitching going into it, but that can be an equalizer.
Okay.
And look what happened if they would have taken that away from Maddux in the years.
Right.
And Glavine and all those guys. And then on top of that, I think Atlanta has comparable pitching to a point.
Let me ask
you this. With Hudson and Lowe.
Here's what,
and Hanson.
I don't know about Lowe so much, but I want to know if you guys agree with me on this. Key player for Atlanta, I think Tommy Hanson. There's a guy, ace written all over him. Regressed a little bit this year from where he was last year, but, I mean, there's a guy who should be a hammer. Do you guys agree with me? I mean, if he's on, that puts them back in this a little more?
Yeah, agreed. And you could look at him as maybe a Cole Hamels from 08.
Yeah.
A guy who, gets on the big stage and makes a name for himself because – no question about it. He's got the talent to do it. He's the future ace of that team.
I agree. And what I'm saying is, though, and Tim, we brought it up off air with David Price. If you've got a shrunken strike zone, you're going to have to groove a couple.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to nitpick on the sides. You can still go up and down, in and out. But if you don't have that extra 6 inches like you were talking about, that's huge.
It is.
Unless you're Cliff Lee or Roy Halladay, who could
exactly
hit that pinpoint control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. As amazing as they
speeds
showed to be today. Yeah, they changed a lot of speeds. They did a lot of stuff here, too. Tommy Hanson, you're talking about that. Jason Hayward. Atlanta, again, looks like Cincinnati. They look like a team where 2011 or maybe even 2012 is the year they could win the World Series. They have the look of a team, again. They're a little bit ahead. It's got to be a cautionary note, though. I mean, if you're a fan in either one of those cities, don't sit there and get too smug, because you know who I said that about a couple of years ago? Arizona. And when Arizona blew through the first round of the playoffs, I said, man, it's like they're channeling their future selves. This is like the 2009 Diamondbacks. No, the 2009 Diamondbacks sucked ass. That clearly wasn't who they were, but they never got to that point. So you can never take anything for granted. I don't think Cincinnati's going to regress. I don't think Atlanta's going to regress.
No.
But that's the kind of thing that's got to make you humble as an analyst, because you just never know.
Well, and how much is the Bobby Cox factor going to work into this? Now, and if Curt Schilling is wrong, I'm going to put a little asterisk by my pick here.
Okay.
I think San Francisco can beat Philadelphia.
Okay.
With their pitching.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go next.
Yeah.
I'm picking San Francisco and Atlanta. I'm picking San Francisco to upset Philly. I mean, I think their pitching is going to get hot. We were talking before about how, San Francisco is built to win playoff series. They've got a good manager with a track record, and they've got a suspect lineup. Darn, their pitching is fantastic. So get into the playoff tournament and then see what happens.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw Lincecum, Kane, Sanchez, Bumgarner, Zito against anybody. And so you got your two. You got your two aces, Kane and Lincecum. Then you got your hot guy, Sanchez. And then whoever else is hot between Bumgarner and Zito, and go with that. I mean, when you're that deep, pitching wise, I'm banking on them to get hot and upset the Phillies.
Here's the thing, though, and again, you don't win the World Series if you count on winning too many games 1-0. Are you that confident that we're going to continue to see good Aubrey Huff? That Burrell's not going to fall off a cliff again? On and on and on here. Uribe, who doesn't make such great contact, even though he's showing better pop. Sandoval, who, if he shows a pulse, it'll be the first time in about 4 months. Are you that confident that these guys are going to keep up that run? Jose Guillen, we could put him in there too?
Well, when a hitter's on a run, in a particular season, I think they continue into the postseason. I mean, I'm more confident that Aubrey Huff has a decent postseason than I am he has a good 2011 season.
Okay.
And the same thing with Uribe as well.
Okay. Well, and what's I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ken.
I was just going to say a little side note too. Another Ken fact here that I picked up. Posey being a rookie catcher, the last time a rookie catcher has ever won a World Series.
Ooh.
Was Andy Etchebarren, 1966, with the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
So, can he call a game? He's only been in the major leagues
half
a year.
Look at the staff he had.
Yep. Can he call the game? Can he hit And one thing about all these young pitchers and all these, it's a little bit different than Halliday. Even though Halliday, this was his first postseason game, he's a seasoned veteran. All the guys we named, Kane, Lincecum, Sanchez, it's a big stage. Are they going to take one down their leg, or are they going to come up and perform with a rookie catcher?
Well, but we talked to Sean Casey before.
Okay.
And if you guys remember, Sean said, you know, either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
And and Roy Halladay has it. Cliff Lee has it.
Yep.
You know, does Tim Lincecum have it? Well, we'll find out.
We're about to find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing here to scratch the surface. I love how many levels we can dig once we get talking about something here. You talk about catchers.
Andy Etchebarren. Yeah.
That's a great one, by the way. If it's Giants Rangers, what does that do if it's Benji Molina on the other side? What does that do to breaking down giant pitcher tendencies? That could be pretty fascinating.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Very interesting.
Everybody's got, you know, what looks to be the, you know, National League playoff missionary position prediction. I'm just going to be the same as everybody else. Go vanilla. Phillies, Giants. I'm taking Phillies to win that. Phillies over Rays in the World Series. So, overall predictions here. I'm sticking with the Rays, by the way, in the American League. I reserve the right to change my mind about 20 hours from now, but we'll see. So, overall predictions, Tim?
Giants over Yankees in a rematch of the 62 series? Is that what it was?
Yes.
But the Yankees, I think, won that series.
Bobby Richardson
yes,
can
did.
Die
yeah.
happy. Is he still alive?
Yeah.
They had
we'll look it up. Look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I was in my crib, but I remember the series. Orlando Cepeda and Juan Marichal, Willie Mays. I think he was still on that team.
Many, many, many matchups of the Giants and the Yankees throughout history. Only one since they moved to San Francisco. Bobby Richardson, according to Wikipedia, is still alive. So Bobby Richardson can die a happy,
vindicated
man.
The Reverend Bobby.
So he actually might be dead.
if I still had the bell here, I'd have to ring it for that one.
Yeah.
But those are all right. So those are the overall. So you think the Rangers will win the American League then?
I think the Rangers are coming out of the American League, and I'm going to be like a lemming, like you, Rick.
Okay.
I'm
going
to go right to the sea with you and say Philly's going to take the World Series again this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to. I just think just as loaded as they are, they're so well balanced.
May I put another asterisk by? I'm hedging all my
okay.
all my things here. I'm finding out.
As
I don't
we
know.
All do.
I'm riding that proverbial fence. Yeah. If Rollins stays healthy. If Rollins goes down.
Yeah.
I might have to go another way because he is such a catalyst for that team.
He is. If he starts playing like a spark plug and stops playing like a butt plug, then, you know, I think they're going to be, you know, in pretty good shape there. You know, but that lineup, they haven't even been themselves this year. That's the scary. Best record in the National League, they haven't even looked like the Phillies most of the year. I mean, that's what's the damnedest thing. But it's one of those things. Baseball is such a wave kind of a sport with 162 games. People were gripping like in early June.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there going, look at how horrible they've looked. What are they, like 4 games out? What, are you kidding me? Like, I would have loved to have been in their spot at that point in time, and they vindicated. Now, part of it was they reversed that awful Cliff Lee trade by going out and getting Oswalt. The idea is not to go Halliday instead of Lee. The idea was to go Halliday and Lee. They blew it, and then they recovered from
it.
Is that not the best acquisition of in season this year?
Yeah.
Oswalt?
I think so.
I would have to agree, yeah.
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 And you never know how he's going to adapt. I mean, but he's phenomenal. He's really done a great job.
And he's got postseason experience. 2005, is that right? When the Astros were against the White Sox in the World Series.
Yeah, he does. He does. And speaking of that postseason too, boy, is there a bigger X factor for any team than Brad Lidge? I mean, that's the one potential equalizer to all of this.
Well, but he's the old Brad Lidge though. Recently.
Right now, yeah. Right, and he's so filthy and fun to watch when he's on, but he's such a train wreck when he's off.
Yeah, you talk about good Aubrey Huff, bad Aubrey
Huff. That's true.
I mean, good Brad Lidge, bad Brad Lidge. There's a bigger standard deviation there.
Yeah, Oliver Perez thinks this guy needs to equal out his performance.
Oliver Perez.
All right, so we're going to take our bottom of the hour break somewhat belatedly here. Jason Jones, our senior editor, couldn't join us for fantasy tonight anyway, so we're going to have a truncated segment. I'm just going to blow through fantasy football on the other side, NFL Week 5. I wanted to go longer with these guys. You see why it justified it. Tim Faust, Ken Detweiler, good friends here of the lounge. So good to have you back in after a while, Ken. We got to do this way more often. Yeah.